Good evening. The church is one foundation. The church is God's foundation. Is Jesus Christ her Lord? Thank you, Joseph, for your sensitivity in that hymn and picking out that hymn. And the fact that it is the subject I'm going to be speaking on tonight. It's nothing but God. Foundation. When you think of foundation, you know, what do you think of? What do you think when the word foundation is brought to your mind? Certainly, you want to think of it as a good foundation. There's a lot of poor foundations that can be said throughout the time. But it's so important to know that if you have a good foundation, it's the most important thing of a structure, of any structure. A structure that's sure and solid, and it's not compromised in any way. You know, there's bad foundations where builders have taken and used substandard material to make the foundation. They've used a lower grade concrete, maybe no concrete at all, maybe wood or maybe just the dirt. Just put it down on the dirt and use just to cut costs, to cut corners. You know, it's okay to do the shortcuts as long as the quality is still there. But if you cut corners like there's those that do, and maybe pour the concrete only 2 inches when it should have been 8 inches, then you may have an issue later on, and probably sooner than later. But it's certainly something that's it's so important when you're thinking of a foundation, that it's sure, that it's solid, that it's steadfast. It never gives away. And it will always forever be in place. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, we're familiar with that verse. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, Paul speaking here, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth their own. But let every man take heed how he buildeth these upon. And it goes on into verse 11, and it says, for other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's the emphasis. That's why we're here. The foundation is Jesus Christ. You know, physically, when you look at a physical structure, yes, it's important to be solid. It's important to have that, the depth and to dig the right depth in the ground and pour that as deep as necessary, and having the right material to do so. But spiritually, we know the only foundation can be the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that changeth not. He's the one that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I want to look tonight in Ezra very quickly. Ezra chapter 3, that's where we're going to be looking. And as we look at this, we want to see how to build on that foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who never changes. And just a little background on this. We're going to be looking at the fact that Cyrus, king of Persia, he commanded that, and of course he made a proclamation in chapter 1 of verse 1 throughout all the kingdom that the temple of the Lord be built again, it be rebuilt. And keep in mind that this was after the Babylonian captivity, where the remnant of Israel, the children of Israel, came back to the land and was there to see the desolation of the first house of God, where they destroyed it completely. And we see here that he makes a proclamation to have it rebuilt, to lay and build the house of the Lord. And we read in verse 6, "And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold and with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem." And it's interesting that if we look on in 1 Corinthians, it's what do we build on? What are we to build on? Is it silver and gold, wood, hay, stubble? But the fact is, the materials are important here. And they go on, and we see the fact that it was the ones in chapter 2 of verse 1, it says, "Now these are the children of the province that went up out of the captivity of those which had been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away into Babylon, and came again into Jerusalem and Judah," and so on. So here we see the background. This is the ones that are going to go and rebuild for the second time here the temple, or the God's house. We first of all see in chapter 3, it took them, we're in the seventh month after the proclamation here. And when the seventh month was come, in verse 1 of chapter 3, "And the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem." Now let's look at that. Keep in mind here, they gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. There was unity. There was a sense of like-mindedness. In Psalms 133, it says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head." And here we see they're going to come together. They're going to come together, and I think of the fact in Philippians it says, "Be of like-minded, Christ-like, in the have the mind of Christ." Here we see a unity taking place as one man to Jerusalem. Now we go on to down in verse 3, it says, "And they set the altar upon his bases for fear." Verse 2. "Then stood up Joshua and the son of Jozadak and his brethren, the priest, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and they built an altar." Here we see they built an altar of the Lord of Israel to burn offerings thereon. And why? It says here, "As it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God." You see, we not only see that they had unity, they came together, but they also came together when it came to the Word of God. You notice there's nowhere here that they did what they felt like doing. They didn't ask for suggestions. They didn't ask anybody for ideas. What are we going to do here in these adverse circumstances? We don't see any of that here. We see the fact that they come together and agreed upon the Word of God. They simply searched the Scriptures, and when they found it written, that ended any kind of controversy. That ended any kind of arguments that they could ever have. And so there was no argument. the Scripture had the final say. So they came together when it came to the Word of God. They agreed. So they built an altar as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. You know, thinking of that, to walk by faith, you know, isn't it important to be obedient to the Word of God? I mean, we can't really truly walk by faith unless we do, unless we have the basis of our salvation as the Word of God, and be obedient. We simply, when we were saved, we did. It was an act of obedience, right? We turned from one direction and went to another and repented of our sins, and we obeyed and trusted in the Word of God. Well, see, that is that, and that's, and of course, the power of the Word of God drew us to the Savior. So we see here in verse 6, they began to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord. But the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. Still wasn't laid. Still hadn't laid the foundation that is so important here. But we see here in verse 7, they gave money also unto the masons, unto the carpenters, and meat and drink and oil unto them of Zidon, and to them at Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyrus, king of Persia. So, and then we read on at the last part of verse 8, it says, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. You see, the ones that really couldn't do the work, they may have gave money, they may have even prayed, they did something, but they all came together to build, to make sure the foundation was laid, to make sure the structure was going to go up according to the proclamation of Cyrus. So it's like no one person just stayed out and said, I'm not going to. I think they can do it. They can take care of it. They all came together and they yielded to the Word of God and yielded to the proclamation and made it happen. They took action. And so when the builders laid the foundation of the temple, we read on in verse 10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord, after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And here, look, verse 11. And they sang together. We not only see that they came together as one in unity, they agreed also on the Word of God and came together on God's Word. And then we saw here that they built together. They made it happen. They took action. And then after the fact here, we see they sang together. They praised the God of heaven for the structure that was before them. So we see that this is a continual a way. We see fellowship here for one thing, but fellowship on top of the foundation that is given. The fact that God gave them, he was pleased with the fact that they were building a house for him, but we see that they, in turn, praise the Lord. But there's something here again that's interesting at the last. We see a younger generation and an older generation that have two reactions when it came to the end result. We saw here that they sang together, of course, in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. But as we go on down to verse 12, we see by many of the priests and Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first. They'd seen the first house. And here they came back as those remnant and saw that it had been destroyed. There was probably a foundation there, but there was just rubble. There was no walls or anything of the first. And here they had saw the second built. The house was laid before their eyes. The foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, and they wept with a loud voice. And then we see the others, and many shouted aloud for joy, so the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping. See, they were drowned out. It was those men, elderly men, who remembered what took place back in that first temple. And their memories were of great things and probably some tradition, but the truth was presented. There was good memories, and some maybe even felt, man, I would have loved to be back at that time. I'd like to have been back then and still being able to worship at the old. But they reflected back, and it brought them to tears. And then these others who shouted with joy probably never knew what the first temple looked like. Probably never saw it. Probably never were born, some of them. But they came back, and they saw, hey, this is a great structure. This is a structure that a change going forward. We got it. We have established something here now, and we're going to go forward. Whereas the elderly could only look back maybe at this point. But you see, there's the two mindsets can be in even in the assembly. You can have that mindset where there's those would rather look back and look at, even get into the tradition, and so often maybe not look at what God's doing and changing, not truth, but circumstances in people's lives that maybe is a little outside of what we're comfortable with. And God is able to use anyone and everyone in this room. And to say that I could never be used, I don't have the abilities, I don't have the talent. You know, God has given you a purpose. He's given you something within your life that He is able to use. And you're the only person like you. And that's the thing. I always tell that to Josh and my kids. You are the only ones like you. And God made you to serve Him and to do what you have. And it may not be much, or you may not think it's much, but He is able to use anything and everything of your being. But you see, these two, the elderly or the older generation, the younger generation, it's like we think when we're older or whatever, God's not going to use me anymore. I'm washed up. That's it. But no, that's what the enemy wants you to think. But see, God's given you life. As long as you're here, He's going to use you. So, it's okay to look forward to the change and what God has in store. not to get in a trap of tradition, but also on the younger generation side, realize that we have a foundation that we can't let go of. It's truth. It's solid. And if we, for a minute, come off that foundation, we're in trouble. We're on shaky ground. As long as we have our foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ, we can know that all the other things will fall in their place as we allow the Holy Spirit to convict us or to move us in various situations in our life. We shouldn't quench the Holy Spirit. We shouldn't quench the desire that the Holy Spirit has to work in our life and do the fullness He has, He wants to do. Using our talents, using our abilities. It says they sang together, they came together, but they never left the Word of God. The enemy wants to get us on these little simple things, the small stuff, the color of the drapes, that always comes up. He's always wanting to put our minds in areas that, as long as we're occupied with that, then He's got us. We're good. It's where we allow ourselves to continue down that path and forget what's important, why we're here. Not to live for ourselves or to get in a routine and just the blah. But we're here to wake up to righteousness and realize that we're here for a purpose. The true foundation. You know, this season, we're going to remember the true foundation who came to this world. And while Mary was holding Him up as a babe, we've heard this so often, He was holding up worlds. He's the true foundation. It's 1 Peter 2:7 says, "Unto you therefore, which believe He is precious," and He is, "but unto them which is be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." That solid foundation. Yes, we rejected Him. They rejected Him. But yet, as a result, look what came. The beautiful Savior. The one who would be the cornerstone. The one who would put us on a solid foundation that we might build the right way. And it's so important. So important to build the right way. Never sell ourselves short on what God can do in our life. But also remember that He wants to use us and continue to build on Him, the one and only sure foundation. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You again for the Lord Jesus. We thank You so much that He loved us and He gave Himself for us. Father, we pray that You just take this feeble message and apply it to our hearts, Lord, and especially my own, Lord. And Father, help us to get back to the foundation. Lord, we pray that foundation's not crumbling. It's not cracking. It's not falling away. But Lord, we pray that it's solid, steadfast, and we're forever building upon that foundation. Lord, help us in every way to give You the praise and honor, to give You our lives totally, totally to You. Lord, we just want so much of our lives, and we don't want to give up. We don't want to give up. But Lord, free us up. Allow us to be 100% for You. We pray that you'd be with each one here, Lord, as they go their separate ways. We pray for their safety, and we continue to pray for all those that we've lifted up tonight. And we forever give you thanks in the name that's above every name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.